Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends and cat lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. And today we have yet another cat book because I love cats and I'm a voracious reader. And I keep finding these amazing cat books to share with you. And this story is just incredible. The author just told such an amazing story. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I would like to welcome Josephine Spence. She is the author of A Cat's Tale. Welcome, Josephine.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me here.
I'm very happy to have you on. So, A Cat's Tale is about your cat, Onkyo. It's his Japanese name, but it's interesting how you got that name because it's told in the book. But hope we might get to that. Maybe not. We'll see. But The Cat's Tale is told in Onkyo's own voice, which, you know, adds a lot of warmth, personality. It makes it's interesting. Why did you take it from her voice and rather than your perspective?
Sure, let me answer that. First of all, this is my fourth published book. I've written books before, but when I decided to write the book about Onkyo, I started the book with my voice. And as I was writing it, it just didn't do her story justice. And I thought to myself, Onkyo had always been a very vocal cat. She would have loved to tell the story in her own voice. And when she tells a story, it's going to be more relatable. So that's when I came up with the idea, hey, let's write it in her voice as if she could talk. After all, she's almost a human to me. And that's why. And when I wrote first chapter and I said to myself, no, this book has to be different. Let the cat be the speaker. Because she was intelligent, she's full of wisdom, and so she could tell her own story. That's how I changed the gear and rewrote the first chapter, starting with a voice. And that's the story.
Okay, thanks. You know, I've had five cats. Right now I have three. And in my mind, they all have a certain voice. They each have distinctive personalities. And I grew up with dogs, and their personalities you could tell a little bit easier than cats. Cats take a little bit of time. And I was kind of tricked because my first cat, Dennis, is part Maine Coon. And so they're known as the dog of cats. So his personality, I thought all cats were like that. And then Molly came along and I realized, no, they're not. And neither is their sister, Charlotte. So Onkyo has characteristics in the book that come across as playful and curious and very intellectual. How much of those traits are actually Onkyo and how many were embellished a little bit?
Sure. I have to say the whole book really is based on real stories that I had her for nearly 19 years. And we spent almost every day together. And the stories about her is endless. But I've consciously only picked stories that are really funny in my mind and humorous. So I started writing about, you know, the day when she was born. That part of it is hearsay from the pet store that we rescue her from. So exactly how she was born and how she was transported from an old lady's house to the pet store, that is based on hearsay because I wasn't there, right? But from the day we met Onkyo and adopted her, the rest of the story is all true. Of course, when she died, there's a chapter that she was waiting for me at the Rainbow Bridge. That clearly is from my imagination, because I truly believe a cat had 9 lives. After this life, she's waiting for me to come back. So I would say from chapter 1 to chapter 20 is all true story. Truly what happened. The cat is intelligent. There's no two way about it. Onkyo has so many interesting personalities. In fact, people that know her, my faithful vet, Dr. John, said that declare Onkyo as the most vocal cat. She talks a lot. So she's 30% Maine Coon, and there's a 25% of her being Siamese.
Let me ask this. What made you decide that you have to write a book about Onkyo? What was there a single memory or moment that just triggered it?
Yes. I have to confess, when my first horse passed away, my first horse being Freckles, I was devastated and I wrote a book about him. But I was too shy to publish it because I thought to myself, people think I'm crazy. And no human should love an animal as much as that. So I was kind of like regret that I did not publish my book about my first pet. So the moment I held Onkyo in my arm, okay, I'm not going to cry. She passed away in my arms. And the very last moment, she really looked at me. Her eyes was in direct contact with me. I felt that she told me, you have to tell my story, mommy. Mama Jo, I love you. You have to tell my story. And that's when I decided, yes, the day after we cremated her, I have to sit down and write her story because she wanted to be remembered. And the moment she told me was when she took her last breath. That is my gut feel. She directly told me, don't forget about me. Even though I'm gone, I don't love you any less. Don't forget me. So the only way I could remember her is by writing down her story. That's the moment I decided her story needs to be told.
Well, again, it's a beautiful story, and I'm sorry for your loss. It's always so sad when our fur babes leave us, and they're never on this earth as long as we want them to be.
Yeah, then again, someone told me 19 years is a bonus.
Yes. And I haven't had a cat pass yet, and my oldest one is 17, but I had 2 dogs prior, and they both lived to be like 14, 7 months and like 15 and years and 14 years, 7 months, 15 years and like 3 months. Sometimes that's a bonus for their size too. So we just have to be grateful for the time we have with them. And I think it's so cool, that kind of magical, that she looked at you and you got that message from her. Because I do truly believe we get messages. This is going to sound crazy to some people, but from the universe sometimes, from our creatures, we just get these messages. And I've had these experiences. That's not totally cat related, but I've just had things that pop into my head and go, why after all these years when I was trying to figure this out, this came to me just now. So the fact that you got the message to write the book from Onkyo as she was passing, I think is just amazing.
Yep.
Let's talk about the bond between cats and their humans. So, you know, us on Catitude listeners, we're nuts about cats. And with your book, there are so many small magical moments, especially, you know, living with a cat so special. Which of Onkyo's everyday miracles stands out to you most?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know whether I told you that I did have cancer back in during the pandemic 2021. I was diagnosed with advanced endometrium cancer. And I knew, Onkyo knew about it, because what she used to do is when I'm lying down in my bed in great pain, she would come next to my bed. She had a little bed next to my bed, like most people do, right? And she would quietly sit next to me with her front paws crossed, just like a sphinx, right? She would sit there and not staring at me, but keeping me company. And that's a miracle way of expressing her love. Her love doesn't need to be loud. She doesn't have to say a lot. She doesn't have to meow. I still use present tense. Sorry, I still believe she's around. She did not have to say she loved me. The fact that she knew that I was suffering, I was in great pain. And she would sit next to me and with her front 2 paws crossed, just directly crossed, just like a person would cross our front, our 2 arms. And she'd sit next to me and kept me company without saying a word. And that's one of the miracles that I treasure every day. I think she could smell cancer. She knew I was sick. And her intuition is so accurate. Her quiet appearance, her sitting close to me, her nudging her nose at me. And it's her way of saying, hey, we can get through this cancer thing together. And she did. And that stands out the most with me, to be honest.
I'm sorry that you had to deal with that illness. I hope you're in better health.
Yes, I'm in remission now. I'm in second year remission. So I'm blessed.
That's wonderful news. Cats are always, they're hard to understand, but the people that get cats are insanely in love with them, right? Why do you think cats, even though they're very subtle, you know, they're not like a dog that jumps on a, and I keep going to dogs because most people have dogs or cats or both. Dogs are very, you know, you see their emotion, whatever. Cats, once they get past the kitten stage, are more stoic creatures. Why do you think they, you know, initiate such a powerful love from their humans?
Yeah, to be honest, though, I'm so allergic to cats, and I was allergic to her. So I wouldn't say that I'm totally, I did not fall in love with her right at the beginning. She was my daughter's cat. That's confession number one. But because Uncle loved me in a very regal is the word I can use. She's very elegant. She's not demanding in the sense. She doesn't always bug me for attention. But when she chose to be with me, she really did spend time with me. It's like a sacred trust, you know? You feel that this little animal has so much trust in me. And she did not have to say much. She did not have to meow much or shout. She would just, you know, quietly come nudging next to me and just say, hey, I want to cuddle. And her love to me is the strongest emotional connection. It's almost like unspoken kind of love. It's just like when you're looking at her, she's very knowing. She's very intelligent. She is almost perfectly very intuitive. When I'm sad, when I was, you know, going through a tough time, she knew it before everybody. So her love to me is unconditional, provided I feed her, I guess.
But there's always something, right? They are very loyal to the hand that feeds them. We're almost at a break, but before we get there, what would you say is one of the lessons that Uncle taught you as far as like a life lesson?
You're going to laugh when I answer this question. Okay. The best thing that she ever taught me is to rest. Sleep, nap, and sleep. Because that's what I learned from her. I was a very fast-going, high-power executive. I didn't know how to slow down. But when I had time and spent my time with Uncle, I learned that life is not about dashing around at 300 miles an hour. You need to sit back and enjoy your cat or your dog or your parakeet, whatever. She taught me how to rest. And that is the biggest and most valuable lesson I ever learned from Uncle. She taught me how to rest. Like, you know, resting.
Hey, the more I read online about health, sleep is like one of the top things you need to make sure you get enough of. So cats definitely have something, they've gotten that right.
Well, according to Uncle, nap is a very important job. You got to know how to do it well.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking with Josephine Spence, the author of A Cat's Tale, which is about her cat, Onkyo, and not just about her cat, but what she learned from her cat, what her cat taught her. And we talked about some of the book in the beginning of the show. Now we're going to talk about, you know, continuing your cat's love, because there's a passage about feeling Onkyo's presence even after she passed on that is really moving. How did you approach writing that in, you know, a way that felt honest and respectful and true to the story?
Yeah, Michelle, I truly believe that you cannot make grief pretty. There's nothing pretty about pet loss grief. I did not make it pretty. I cried when I had to cry. I wrote it the way it came, raw. Very inconvenient. Sometimes I would cry. I'd be crying in the middle of sitting in a traffic jam, and I would cry in the middle of shopping. You know, somehow the feeling's overwhelming. I didn't make it pretty. I wrote it the way it was. One of the stories that when I was driving to my yoga, and there's a car in front of me. It has a cat decoration on the windscreen wiper, and I said, oh my goodness, Onkyo is sending me a message after she passed. So I wrote it the way I saw it. It's about flickers of comfort. You know, you just know that even your cat had passed. She came back to check on me, and I felt her presence. People might say I'm crazy, but I thought I heard her. Sometimes I felt that the pain is just too much. It almost hurt to breathe after you lose a cat, especially one that has been with you for 19 years. I can only hope that by being able to feel her, it turns my sorrow into hope. I truly believe she's going to come back to me another 8 times, because she did have 9 lives, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote it the way it came. And my book is conversational. I wrote it the way exactly how I felt it.
I like that style of writing. That's my favorite. Let's talk more about grief. Some people have said when they've lost their fur babes that, you know, over time, the grief has eased up a bit. I lost one of my fur babes 5 years ago, one 20 years ago. Those were both dogs. The two cats that we lost were outdoor cats that we took care of. So there wasn't quite the same as we didn't have them as long, maybe 4 years, 5 years, but they were outdoor because they were feral. So I've had more of that experience of grief with losing dogs, although I'm a little scared because Dennis is getting up there, although he's more robust than his younger sisters. So what would you say if people have said grief softens? How has that been true for you?
No. I don't think grief will ever be softened. It might become quieter, right? So, for example, the first week after she passed, I literally could not function. I cried for little thing, like I found a piece of fur on my sweater. I found her snot on the wall. You know, it just...
Not?
Yeah, she used to sneeze a lot.
Oh, wow. Susan gets bloody noses, so I know.
I think in the beginning, I would say the grief, the pain was very sharp. Yeah. It's almost take your breath away when you think of her. You stop and then your tears would just flood it out, you know. So I would say a few months later, it becomes softer. It's almost like a tender bruise, right? It hasn't gone away, but when you press it, it still hurt. I can't say this will go away because I truly love Onkyo so much. I think she'll be with me until I see her again. I don't think grief has a timeline. There isn't such a thing that by month two, you're going to feel better. Month three, you're going to forget about your cat. No, that's not going to work. Because grief is basically love that has nowhere to land. And I have nowhere to land this love I have for her. And I'm not going to adopt another cat. I'm not ready. I have no way to give away my love from Onkyo to anyone at the moment. So I grieve. I grieve every day. It's not getting easier. I have not seen or touched a cat since her passing. I cannot bring myself to do that.
It's interesting. Some people need to adopt another, you know, pet right away. That was the case with my first one. With my, it was different because I had cats already. And because of lifestyle changes, that kept me from adopting another dog, although I'm very tempted. But I know some people just can't bear to go through that grief again. How do you hope this book supports readers that are navigating the loss of their own feline?
Yeah, my readers, first of all, they have to learn pet grief is true, is genuine. It's not a pretend feeling. It is there. Give yourself the permission to feel everything. When you read my book, You can laugh, you can cry, you can feel the love. You have gratitude that you have the chance to have with your pet. I want my reader to know that their feelings and emotions are validated. There's no such thing as, oh, it's only a cat, you'll get over it. No, don't let people tell you that. And to be honest, I cry more when Uncle passed away than my mother, who passed away 2 years ago. I truly did. They're part of family. So you are not alone if you're sad and crying over your pet. That grief is very pure. It's very simple. It's the echo of the love that you had with your pet. And it's deep. And it's worth celebrating. And don't deny yourself that. Don't deny yourself to think of your pet, to laugh, to cry. All those emotions are validated.
Yes, and healthy to express.
Totally, totally. Psychology would say you need to grieve.
You do. You do. Like you said, in your way, in your timeline. And I don't think the beings that leave us, whether they're two-legged or four-legged, the grief, it never goes away. It might get, for some of us, it might, you know, get a little quieter, but it's there. Sometimes it comes up in weird place times, and I've experienced that. I've heard other people experience it, but it's never quite gone. Josephine, you also told some really cute little story, or Ankyo. Well, you told the stories, but in Ankyo voice. So I say Ankyo told us some stories about some interesting things. What was one of your favorites?
Okay.
Funniest.
The funniest story, I think the funniest story about Ankyo is her love for Christmas trees and Christmas decoration. Her relationship with my husband, in the book, we call him Dada, because that's what my daughter called my husband, Dada. So I imagine Ankyo will call my husband Dada too. They have this very complex love-hate relationship. Ankyo loved Christmas. She would die under the Christmas tree if she had a choice. Every year when my husband lights up the Christmas tree, Ankyo will be the first one to go underneath it, thinking it's some sort of spa, you know. The Christmas when my husband decided to put a second tree on his desk, he put out the most expensive family German hand-blown nutcracker ornament. Ankyo jumped on it when everybody went to bed. Oh my God, the whole house was like a third world war zone. My husband went berserk. Ankyo was scolded. She was hiding in the corner because she just broke. Basically, she broke Clara's leg and crushed Prince Nutcracker's nut and poked out, you know, Drosselmeyer's second eye. And the damage was quite intense on the decoration. That almost spoiled our Christmas. But in the sense, when I look back, it was hilarious. It was funny. It was the funniest thing she ever did, with jumping on the Christmas tree, the second Christmas tree on my husband's desk. And I'm sure both Ankyo and my husband hated each other that moment.
That is funny. And I have to say, and it's tragic in a sense, because she destroyed family heirlooms, and those, you know, they're meaningful. But I have to say that becoming a pet parent, and I did that, I started years ago. I had, you know, pets as a child, but this, when I started becoming a pet parent, I really learned the value of things versus fur babes.
Yep. Yep. They're never wrong, Michelle. Our cats are never wrong. They're always right.
Right. The shoe, the phone. I mean, my first one chewed up everything. It was incredible. You learn what's the most important, you know. Okay. All right. I have to buy another pair of shoes. Or yes, it was an heirloom, but you know, you can't take it with you. So my dog doesn't know that. Or my cat doesn't know that you're not supposed to claw the everything they want and anything they want to claw, even if you have 17 or more, you know, cat trees or, you know, things for them to use. I can't think of the word right now, but you guys know.
Yeah. Your possession, you can't take with you. So what? Your cat broke it. Buy another one.
So, Josephine, if Ankyo can give listeners one piece of wisdom, what do you think she would share?
You know what? She'll probably wink her eyes and said, nap often, eat well, love unconditionally. That's what she would say. And always get her way. She must get her filet mignon because she loves that. She would tell people to rest and eat well. I think those are the two key messages that she will give you.
Okay. Kind of like take care of yourself. I like that.
Yep, selfless.
So you have our cat-loving audience listening. What message do you hope listeners get from reading your book?
I'm hoping they get the gentle mix of messages here of mainly comfort from your pet, joy, and great memories. They should always feel that there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking in the afternoon away from your laptop, from work, put your phone away and curl up with your cat in your chest. There's nothing wrong with that. And because when they're gone, you're going to miss that. And there's nothing wrong having your cat waking you up at 3 a.m. and ask for breakfast. It's something magical. I will cut my right arm. I will give you my kidneys just to have her wake me up one more time. Honestly, Michelle, I miss this cat so much. She was my alarm clock for 19 years.
There's no words. You can't explain it. But it's wonderful that you wrote this book to keep her memory alive.
Yes.
Okay. So where can our listeners find your book? And do you think Ankyo has any more tales left to tell?
Yeah. That's a great question. Let me answer the first question first. You can get this book from Amazon. It's out there. And also it is recorded by a professional voice actor. Her name happened to be Kitty J. And the audiobook is available about 100 plus distribution channels, from Spotify to Audible, Books Now. It's everywhere. Apple and Google. You can get the book, the audiobook. And it's also available in Kindle as well. So if you want paper book, you get it from Amazon. You go to Amazon, type in the books by Josephine Spence. My books will pop up. And that's how easy it is.
Okay, thank you.
I also donated the audiobooks to library as well. If you prefer not to buy the book and listen for free, you can get it from a library. Namely, Libby and Hoopla. In your local library, you'll find the book too.
Okay, thank you. And any more Ankyo tales on the horizon?
Michelle, yes, and yes. Ankyo had 9 lives. In fact, I started writing part 2 of her story. Of course, when she passed away, the second book will become fictional rather than real story. I had imagined that she came back to me as a completely different cat. And Ankyo's story is never ending. And I have started my fifth book about her returning to me, because I'm not able to get over losing her. I feel like the only way that I can connect to her is keep writing about her. That's my therapy. So yes. There's a part 2 of Ankyo's story, maybe part 3, part 4 as well. So here we go. As I said, the name Ankyo means echo, and her love is echoing all over me, and she hasn't left. And all I could say is that in reality, she may have left me, and yet she's so utterly with me. That is the only way I can describe how I feel about her.
You know, you're echoing some of the emotions that I've heard from a lot of people that have been on Catitude, and a lot of them are, you know, cat parents, and a lot of stories from my listeners. So cat people have a very strong love for their cats, very deep. It's just different. It really is. Josephine, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude, and I can't wait for part 2. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
I hope you enjoyed this show. I want to again thank Josephine Spence for coming on Catitude and talking about her book, A Cat's Tale. It is available in many, many places. I hope you take time to read it. It is a really good book. I want to thank my cat crew, who patiently slept around me as I read her book. So thank you, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. And of course, the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer. Thank you so much, Mark Winter, for all you do to make our shows sound amazing. This is episode 299. Wow! So thank you for listening to Catitude for all of these episodes, all of these years. Now stay tuned for episode 300. I have a special celebrity guest. You know her from television. She is amazing. She's doing some incredible things coming up for animals, and she is such a cat lover. You will not want to miss episode 300. And hey, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.